Today we know the prophecies have been fulfilled. I know it seems weird that the Gospel of Luke did not seem to say anything about that. And yet Luke, in a cryptic style, is teaching us things about Jewish history that guides us to understand what Jesus did and why this is important. So the first important detail is there was a prophecy that God would return to his temple. If we go back in Jewish history and go back to the Babylonian exile, when Babylon came and conquered all of Israel, they also destroyed the temple. And in destroying the temple, would have taken the Ark of the Covenant, but the prophet Jeremiah, according to history, took it away and locked it away in a cave somewhere, but it was never found again. Some people claim that it's still in Egypt, but that's a different story. Nevertheless, the temple was destroyed. God was gone. When the Jewish people returned 70 years later, they did rebuild the temple, but it wasn't the same. The Ark of the Covenant never returned to the temple. It was barren. It was waiting for the moment that God would return. Now, once the temple was dedicated, the great cloud that represents God's authority, the Shekinah, came down upon the temple to let people know God was still present with them, but not quite the same. There was always this hope, all the way back through all the prophets, that God would gloriously return to his temple once again. And here he is. Jesus comes to his temple. He comes to his father's house. But this wasn't the first or the last time. Remember, during his circumcision, he was brought to the temple, and Simeon and Anna rejoiced that the Messiah had come. This time, he's making a point clear to everyone else that God is in his temple. And then when he comes again to drive them out with a cord of whip, he makes a point too, and people realize that. Zeal for my house will consume me. God has returned. But why is this important to us? What difference does it make? Well, there's a second side to that prophecy as well. The second side is not just that God would return to his temple, but that all his people would become a living temple, so that we would know that God dwells within us. And that's the important part. Jesus didn't just come to the temple and say, "Yay, Jewish history has been fulfilled, we now can worship God again." His whole goal, as we saw in John chapter 3, was to bring everyone into the mystery of God, to allow everyone to have a space in their lives, to become holy temples where God can dwell. Which means for us, we must reflect on that whole issue. Do we recognize that we can find God deep within us? As St. Teresa of Avila proclaims in her interior castle, we don't go out to find God. We go inward to the depths of our soul. And there in the silence and peace of our soul, we encounter the true and living God. We can hear his voice. We can understand his words. We can recognize his great love for us and let that experience transform the rest of our lives. He's not somewhere to be found in a temple, but inside of ourselves, where God wants to dwell as he always desired from the beginning of time. Now, the second prophecy is harder. The prophet Jeremiah claims something that we see cryptically in our gospel for today as well. He claimed that all would be taught by God. There was a sense from the beginning of time that God wanted to speak directly to us, to transfer his words into our lives that we may hear him directly. It took a while. Adam and Eve were the first. They could hear his voice because they walked with God in the garden. The second one would be Abraham. Abraham was there speaking with God, debating with him, even challenging him. He heard God specifically. The next would be Moses, the last one. Moses heard God speak on the mountain, transforming his words into tablets, giving the tablets to the people that everyone would know what God wants through Moses. Leading to a lot of disputes and problems and confusion, but that's a different story. From that point forward, he only spoke through prophets and priests. But there's always this hope that God would speak directly to each and every person. And here he is. He's teaching. He comes to his temple and teaches. Now, the way he teaches has always fascinated me. He's not giving a lecture or some great sermon. According to Luke, he's asking questions. The way he's teaching is simply through a dialogue, almost by inquiry. You'd think that the God of all creation could say, "By the way, this is how you should live. This is what the religion's supposed to do." But he doesn't. He invites them. He encourages them by questioning them. Such a subtle and beautiful point. And yet that's how God works with us too. We're not outside of this realm. God wants to speak to each and every one of us. And the challenge we have is that when he speaks to us, most of the time we're kind of caught up with our own voice. We like to speak to him instead. Say, "Oh, Lord, let me tell you all about these things that are going on. Let me have this long dialogue with you, and that'll be good." That's not it either. What if we switch that around? Instead of having a huge, long dialogue about the intricacies of our lives, we started asking him questions like Jesus did. Lord, why did you come at the age of 12? How did you know it was your father's house? What did Mary feel like? This is the ask of asking questions. We're inviting a conversation. We're encouraging him. By the way, this is a very old form of prayer called mental prayer that St. Teresa made clear in her writings to the Carmelites, that we're taking the gospel passage, we're taking the life of Jesus and engaging a dialogue through questions. We're letting God speak to us and communicate his own will to us. You may think this is strange because a lot of people have been caught off by what they think God says and make their own religions or whatnot. But that's not what we're trying to do. We're not just trying to listen for new ideas. We're trying to hear him speak to us directly. We're trying to listen to his voice that communicates his own will, communicates his life to us. Most importantly, what we really want to hear, what we want to hear to the depths of our soul, is that God really does love us and communicates that in words and emotions when we're willing to sit and listen. So let's take these prophecies to heart, that God desires something very special from us. He wants to dwell deep within us, and he wants us to realize that. He also wants us to know his way, know his will, and be able to hear his voice, hear him speak his words of wisdom and love to us each and every day, if we're willing to have the time to sit, be quiet, and listen. Listen as God tells us all about himself and encourages us, that we may realize what Jesus has done for us and glorify the God of all creation who has come to be with us.